Hello and welcome to How Do You Drew?
This is a Drew Barrymore podcast brought to you by thedrewseum.com.
And sponsored by our friends at Positive Medium.
I'm Anne.
And I'm Ashley.
And hello.
Here we are again. It feels like we just did this because we're actually getting ahead.
This time and last time we were like last minute and we're like doing like a real episode again. So it feels like, I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello again. Good. It's nice to see you again.
Yeah. And hello to our listeners. Thanks for coming back.
Yes. Hello. You won't know the difference. We will.
Right. I do want to shout out specific listeners. I think we should do a Patreon shout out to all of our members.
Okay.
Because appreciate you guys so much. And let's just run down the list of who we've got.
Okay. Here's our shout out to Patreon. Katie, Angela, Julia, Tracy, Tess, Angela M, James, Kat, Samuel, and Leslie. Thank you.
Thanks to all of you. If your name was not on that list, what are you waiting for? You need to get on over to patreon.com/howdoyoudrew. We are working on our way through Little Girl Lost. We are currently working on chapter 3 and we'll be releasing that soon. And I'm telling you, even just myself deep diving into these, I'm like learning, relearning things, putting pieces together. It's really fun from a like historian standpoint. Mm-hmm. And it's also just like the realities of Drew's childhood and how sad a lot of it is. It's really, I don't want to say interesting or fascinating, but it kind of is like to go back and really see that from a lens of, you know, being in my 40s now, it's very different than I as a teenager.
Yeah.
It's just wild and, you know, makes you have even more respect for what she has come from.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're having a good time doing that and learning a lot, even though it's all stuff we knew. Like, I feel like we're like making connections and spending more time with the information.
Yep.
So yeah, if you didn't hear your name, go to patreon.com/howdoyoudrew.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, what else do we have for the top of the show?
Oh, we got a little oopsie daisy correction. Thank you to our wonderful friend, Brian, who we still really need to have on the show. He needs to pick a topic that he wants to do. But he was so sweet and let us know after our last episode, which was our year in review for 1996, which we love doing. And we talked about how we didn't think we'd ever seen Drew with Owen Wilson, even though she dated Luke for so long.
Yeah.
And he reminded us that there are photos of them together at in 2011 at this is a long name, Natural Resources Defense Council's Ocean Initiative Benefit Dinner. First try. Woo. And they're really cute. And you can tell they're very like familiar with each other.
Yeah,
so
thanks, I Brian. Had completely forgot about that. Brian, we're happy to like be told things that we don't know.
It doesn't happen often. No, just kidding.
But yay, that's awesome. And the picture that you pulled is very, very cute.
Yeah.
Okay. So do we want to talk about the ever after behind the scenes-ish thing that came up?
Yeah. So the ball gown, as we've mentioned, was sold. One of two that were used. And it's the one like when it rains and her wings are falling apart. That's why the wings looked like that. We didn't talk about that last time, but that's why. All right. So this woman, Jane Helen Law. So she is the woman behind Jane Law Costumes, and they actually made the gown. So Jenny Beaven designed it and they made it. So she had posted previously this post saying that she had been called by Jenny Beaven to meet and measure Angelica Houston and make costumes for her. And then she was persuaded to, quote, have a chat with Drew. And then 8 days later, she returned with the finished dress for Drew. She was supposedly going to have dinner with Andy Tennant, I guess, but canceled on him so that she could come try it on and it fit. So that's the background. And oh my God, she shared these photos of Drew in the gown, in a fitting, in the Dordogne, it says, which always makes me think of Kim Green talking about them floating down the Dordogne reading poetry. And oh my God, these are so cool.
Well, I feel like we have to say too that she posted like one picture where it was like shoulders down or like showed Drew's lips, maybe
like mouth down.
Yeah. And I think we could tell like, oh my God, her hair, because that's what we have to like get into. But She posted it like incomplete, and then she finally posted like a little bit more, and then another picture of them together, which is also so darling. The picture of her in the dress with her short hair that looks like my hairstyle. It's
like, I know. Well, this is like, it feels like a vindication in some weird way, because we always assumed or felt very strongly that her short auburny hair that she has in her E! Celebrity profile interview is the what she had forever after, and they just clipped in like longer extensions to it. But we've never seen it any other time.
Yep.
It's often like misattributed as being filmed in 1998, this interview, but we were always like, nope, this is 97 when she, I mean, it wouldn't make any sense in 1998 with her hair evolution, but
yeah,
to see it and really know it feels so good.
It's also like cool to see, because yeah, previously we had like this one interview with this like brown bob situation going on, and it's like it's only slightly longer than how it looks in this picture of her wearing the dress.
So cool. It's also like almost jarring to see like that like modern hairstyle in the gown.
Yes.
I love it.
But like, it's so cool. There's something so, God, if there's so much stuff like this out there of like Drew in costumes with the wrong hair and like, you know, like
the wrong hair. I love it.
You know, it's like, this is, it's insane. It's insane how cool it is.
Oh, huge thanks to her.
Thank
you. Also, third episode in a row, we're going to mention Dale McCarthy, but he's the one that pointed me in the direction of this account and this post. So thank you,
Dale. That is so cool. That's exciting.
Also, as I was like looking at this, I was thinking about the E! Celebrity profile and how it would have been filmed in late 97. And it's kind of interesting because that was before The Wedding Singer and Ever After were released. They'd been filmed, but I feel like somebody was either really counting on them to be big hits, or her people were like trying to raise her profile or what. But it's kind of cool because they were right. Like, this was, you know, right when we became fans. So I like ate up that special and watched it all the time.
It is interesting how like through those, like that span of years, there are like multiple biography
shows. Oh my
gosh.
I mean,
I think we talked about this like last time because somebody had like a message that said they missed them.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, either her team was on it or like the production people at E! Were like really noticing her star rising and were like getting the people who they thought would get ratings right away.
Yeah. I just kept thinking about like that somebody in 1997 called her up or she called them and they were like, let's sit down and do this interview for this profile. I don't know. It's just, I love thinking about these things because I'm a nerd.
And we're also just such like, we're trying to be more like
thorough
and also just like be able to recognize like the timeline of Drew's life.
Yes.
I mean, obviously that's what we're doing.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, yeah, what was happening in her career as she was doing these movies and getting ready to be like, have her other renaissance happen. Like, it's so fascinating. Anyway.
We could do this all day. Let's keep going.
But yeah, that picture is so cool. Of course, check the episode gallery if you want to see it. We also shared it, I'm sure, on our pages. So it's probably in like the highlights.
Yeah, we shared it on the Drewseum in our highlights. There's an Ever After highlight, but we will also put it on howdoyoudrew.com on this episode's page.
Yes. Okay, so what else?
Oh my gosh, did you see this yesterday?
I didn't see it yesterday, but I saw it today when I was going through these notes.
Okay, so on Instagram, Drew did a cute little thing with Mel B from the Spice Girls, talking about their like wild past. And I clocked it immediately. I'm like, why is she wearing a shirt that says my boyfriend is out of town? Oh my gosh. So she recreated that look, that classic iconic walking down New York Street with the bottle of champagne and Cameron Diaz look.
Yeah.
Leather pants. She's got the champagne. Her butterfly sadly is not showing in the new version.
Yeah. She's got more of like an oversized tee than a baby tee.
Yeah. But so fun that anybody thought to do that. They took the time. I mean, this is the stuff we live for, right?
But yes, and absolutely. And I've said so many times that I'm surprised like this is a common Halloween costume, because I'm like, how does that mean people recognize it? But like,
this
clearly
proves it, right?
Like, yeah. And it came up in like the interview with whoever it was on her podcast, or she was on their podcast.
Yeah. Benny Drama a long time ago.
Yeah.
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 But also, we've mentioned this before when we did this like March Madness style bracket competition tournament of all of her red carpet looks. This yeah. was the ultimate winner that everybody yeah, voted on.
I forgot about that. I think it surprises me every time because yeah. I'm like, I mean, it is iconic.
It is.
It stands out. That's for yeah. sure.
So we had to mention that. We'll also link to that little video and share a picture of Drew.
Totally. Okay. And now do you want to tell me about what Drew proclaimed her love for this past week?
I love love.
Okay. So here we go. Pay attention to this first one. She loves to break the rules when it comes to fashion.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll come back to that in a second. She loves a stripe. You know, just one.
Just a stripe.
Spring cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
People and talking to them. Van Leeuwen, that ice cream that did the thing for her birthday. And I think this was, I sneakily think this was filmed way before that. So
oh, that is funny. Like she said that and then they did that for her birthday.
Uh-huh. She loves Queer Eye. Same.
Okay. Yeah, me too.
She loves a tip.
Just the tip, Drew?
I know. She even said like, that sounds a little funny.
Did she mean like giving a tip, like money?
No, she meant like, give me a tip on what I should do. Oh, you know, a little life hack, that
okay.
kind of thing.
Okay. The English language for us.
Yeah, I know. And then finally, she loves removing doors, and she means cabinet doors and having open shelving in your kitchen. Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
I think I like it in theory, and I wouldn't like it in reality because you'd have to be really perfect with it.
Yeah. I was just like, I have too much stuff that's mishmashed. Like, yes. It wouldn't look right, but I love the concept.
Yeah.
Okay. So I see you did something fun and pulled some Drew loves from the topic this week that we'll be doing.
Yeah. So we're doing a magazine article and there were some loves in the article. So let's talk about those too.
Historical 2010
yeah. Drew loves. So she loves denim.
Mm-hmm.
She loves action and comedy and storytelling and characters.
Okay.
The idea of happy endings.
Okay.
Her job.
Okay.
And then I love this because here we go. She's the same girls all these years apart, combining patterns that aren't supposed to go together, which
rule
is just
breaker.
Like breaking the rules of fashion. I thought that was so neat.
I love that.
She also loves layering and dressing for different moods mm-hmm. and the runway.
Okay. I love that. It's so fun to pull if we don't just have the show. When the yeah. show's not on, we'll just have to make sure we do things where we can like
go into old articles.
Go into old articles. Or like I've been thinking maybe we should start doing like old appearances on TV shows might be a fun thing
yes.
to do.
I know. We kind of were talking about doing Rosie O'Donnell as an episode topic. If you guys are into that, let us know. But I think that could be really fun.
Yeah. If we had just like a teensy bit of encouragement, we would absolutely do it. Like we probably will anyway.
Speaking of encouragement, how about a kind comment? For the kind comments corner.
All right. Okay. So for the kind comments corner, it looks like you pulled a comment that was posted on the clip that Drew posted from 1994 on her Instagram.
Obsessed with that.
So cute.
As soon as it came up, I had that like excitement feeling. Yes. I just love 1994 Drew.
Totally.
So this is from a user named Catherine McEuler.
Okay. So she commented to Drew, "You've come a long way, but still the same. I don't miss an episode of your show that you've created with love for your audience, the average person. You're an inspiration to everyone to be themselves. Put on our big girl panties and persevere. I love you so much, Drew."
It was fun, right?
Like, Drew would appreciate the put on your big girl panties.
Oh, yeah, she loves big panties.
Okay, so are we ready for This Week in Drew History? What did you pull?
Okay, April 3rd, 2003, Drew attended the premiere of the movie Anger Management, which is an Adam Sandler movie.
21 years ago.
Stop. That's very freaky and I don't like it. She attended that premiere with Fab, Fabrizio mm-hmm. Moretti, her boyfriend at the time. Just a very low-key and casual look. Mm-hmm. This was like one of the first times we saw her blonde long hair for 50 First Dates. So
oh,
I think she was just about to start filming that. But yeah, these pictures are fun. They like basically look like, okay. So there's pictures of him with all the fans like behind the barricade taking photos of the red carpet. And it looks like they kind of snuck over those barriers to be on that side. Is that what you think is happening here?
Really understand exactly, but yeah, they clearly are not wanting to go on the red carpet. They want to attend the movie premiere but not go on the red carpet. So yeah, like, they're behind the barricades, can't quite understand how or why, but it's really cute. Yeah, her outfit, it's like army jacket with like a sweater underneath. It's got a big turtleneck, which that alone is like, I feel like she's in disguise mode.
Yeah, and like probably Uggs.
It kind of looks like she's wearing sweats or something. Sweats and Uggs. I don't think she was intending to be photographed, but she looks so cute.
I know. And she also has her huge styrofoam cup, of course, which also is going to be in this article that we read.
Oh, yeah.
Because this was back when she would like admit she was bad and used styrofoam. And she also has a huge bottle of water in her pocket, which I never noticed until I was looking at these.
From the angle that I'm looking at, it looks like a bottle of liquor.
I know. I had to go back and look at other photos. It's like an Arrowhead water bottle.
Okay.
I did same thing. I was like, damn.
Somebody's sneaking it in. But yeah, that's a really cute one. Plus, we love to reminisce about the fab times.
Yeah, we sure do.
One of her hedonistic times of her life.
This is like right before the champagne. My boyfriend is out of town a couple months before. So yeah, very hedonistic.
So we pulled out 2003 references twice this episode.
Yep.
Okay, so what is new with Drew?
Do you want to hit the headlines?
Okay, this was fun surprise. So on The Tonight Show, Drew and Jimmy Fallon did this little skit for the cold open, which I don't know that they do cold opens on that show very often. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll have to ask Chris Miller. But she's like a lie detector test administrator, and they're giving a lie detector test to Shakira's hips because Shakira was the guest.
It checks out. They're telling the truth.
Hips don't lie.
Told you.
I love this observation. So someone left a comment that said it was reminiscent of the scene in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, where I think it's when, do they go with Lucy? Is it that whole thing? Like,
it's like a CSI kind of crime scene.
Oh, is this a scene with, who else is in it?
Melissa McCarthy and Andrew Wilson.
Yes. Okay. I was picturing Andrew Wilson. So yeah, the hair pulled back, the glasses, the red lips.
And the whole like vibe, because I feel like she's like the very technical person in disguise in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle.
That's right.
So it definitely has like shades of that, which is really fun. And we'll link to that video for you guys to check out.
I think it might be kind of fun to do like a side-by-side of the looks, because I feel like it is very similar.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay.
No, I guess that's all that's new.
I know. Oh yeah, that is all that's new.
Let's do what's old.
Howdy, Droomies.
We want to tell you about our sponsor, Positive Medium. We've actually been clients of theirs for at least 10 years, and they take care of all of our website needs for thedrewsam.com.
They offer custom web design and professional coding, search engine optimization, marketing, and hosting. So we've been hosted by them, but we've also been able to take advantage of a lot of their expertise in these other areas as well.
Absolutely. So customer service is the biggest draw for us with this company. They have saved our site literally from obliteration quite a few times. But then they also help us with minor issues in just like literally a matter of minutes. So if we have like a coding question or just like something on the back end we can't figure out, we reach out to them and we get an answer back and the issue is solved within moments.
We're so excited that Positive Medium is allowing us to offer our listeners 25% off managed WordPress hosting plans using our promo code Drew, D-R-E-W, of course. And if you want to take advantage of this, visit positivemedium.com. We really, really vouch for these people. They've been so great to us and will continue to be great to us. I can only imagine.
I mean, they're great by offering this to our listeners. So take advantage. Again, it's promo code Drew, of course.
It's interesting how a lot of what's new with Drew ends up in follow-ups.
I know. It's like, well, we've never talked about this scene in Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, so I guess this is something new.
Yeah, that's true. If we had done a Charlie's Angels episode, would it then be
a follow-up?
Right. It's so funny. It's so funny. We're trying to figure out our format all the time now that everything's a follow-up after episode 75. We haven't even covered nearly all of the topics that we want to cover.
Oh, I mean, think of how many of her movies we haven't touched yet. It's bananas. We got plenty of ways to go.
I like how it's like, oh, isn't there like a finite amount of content? No.
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 It's a very rich source of material.
Literally, literally infinite because she is still creating.
All right. So, hey, we haven't done a magazine in a minute, right?
I don't remember the last time we did. I think we're overdue.
It was Playboy.
Oh, yeah. And also we've realized we've been really like really leaning into the 90s lately and we wanted to do something quote unquote recent. So
yeah, quote unquote new.
Something more recent than the year 2000. We got 10 years ahead of that. We can't quite make it to 24 years ahead.
All right. Yes. So 2010 happens to be a year I love in Drew's style. I like it. It's really one of my favorites when I think about it. So I am so into this and I'm really excited. So we're doing Nylon Magazine. It's the August 2010 issue. It was called the Denim issue. Mm-hmm. It's such a cool magazine. I hope it's still in print, but they definitely at least still have a web presence.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not sure if it's still in print or not, but it was a really cool magazine.
I feel like the paper is nice too.
I think so too. It yeah. was like well curated, like mm-hmm. a really nice, like kind of designed really well magazine. Okay. So this article was written by Holly Siegel. It's a really cool article. We're going to get into it. Did Drew ever work with this person before, as far as we know?
No, I don't believe so. But yeah, I like how she has really fun observations about the things she sees, like what's in the room. Like those are the kind of little details I love so much.
Oh,
that's kind of why I was reading it and going, oh, this would be a
this
fun
is a
one.
Good one. Yeah. There are a couple things that little small errors she makes, but we'll talk about that.
I noticed that too.
But I think it's overall a really well-written article and we'll get into why that is. Like there's a lot of topics covered. It's really... obviously the pictures are cool because when we do these, we are often balancing like what is the thing about this magazine that makes it amazing, and it's kind of got to be both right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, the article's cool, but we'll get more into that.
So she was photographed by Marvin Scott Jarrett. And interestingly enough, he was the editor-in-chief of the magazine at the time, which is kind of cool, right? That feels random.
That is cool. I wonder if it was often that he photographed, like, also. It's cool.
Good question. In the letter from the editor, I thought this was a cool quote. He said, "It was awesome to meet her and shoot her in the studio and on the beach in Venice, California. She's an amazing woman who is interested in absolutely everything, especially music. Her iPod playlist for the day included the XX and Beach House." I like Beach House.
Yeah, me too. So I love that. I love when we can get the commentary from like behind the scenes. Anytime we get that.
Yeah, this magazine's great for that.
Yeah. And anytime we get that, like I feel like it's a lot of times mentions the music she put on, you know, her attitude, all that stuff. Okay. The stylists for the issue were Anda and Masha. Ugh. We love, I should say, like you said, you love the work that they did with her.
Love.
So they styled her for the Going the Distance promotional stuff and at least one of the blended premieres.
I think it's the Berlin one because okay. I remember really liking the dress and like okay. being like, yes, Anna and Masha, because I just feel like they make her look so cool. And she always has like little braids in her hair with that. Oh, like, I don't know. I just love what they do with her.
Okay. Yeah. They are quoted also talking about Drew and her on set. And they said she was so sweet and so cool in person. She instantly felt like a friend we had known for some time. When we took her out of her comfort zone, she was actually really excited to be in these looks. She was so easygoing and willing to try new things. Yep, that's our girl.
Cool.
Like, sounds right. And yeah, they did do some fun stuff with her for Going the Distance promo. Like,
oh my gosh, maybe we'll have to share a couple of those because she just looked so awesome and like really different in a really fun way.
Cool.
And one of the things is that she wore two of the hats from this photo shoot during that promotion, a black newsboy cap and like a purplish dark blue other kind of hat.
Yeah, like velvety.
We'll share photos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I swear she still has the black newsboy one. I think we spotted it in 2015.
So cool. Yeah, we had done a wardrobe recycle that covers both of those hats on our website. And I had forgotten about it until you asked this question. And then I was like, oh, did she wear that to the Knicks game in 2023? And then I looked and it's very similar. At first, I thought maybe the rope was missing.
Yeah.
But then I like looked closer and like the rim is a little bit different. I think it's like a different material because this one looks sort of like velvety. Anyway, I was like,
we had the exact same journey. Oh, also, I think the hat is Onda and Masha's like brand design. Which is cool. Yeah, their design.
Yeah, that sounds familiar.
They also, I'm pretty sure, did the hat that she wore to that V Festival with Justin at this time in England, where she had that like fringe suede brown outfit on and a big hat. Do you like one
I'm
of my
forgetting
favorites.
The hat, but I remember the fringe, so I'll have to
it's
to
like
look
a floppy
at the
hat. We'll share some of these.
Cool.
All right, let's get back on track. We're just okay. Going down a rabbit hole of awesomeness. So the hair was done by Lamal Hamadi, and the makeup I was happy to see was done by the wonderful Deborah Ferullo, who is just, we love Deb. She's so sweet to us. We're not just like speaking from a creepy, like off to the side. We love Deb. Like, should we actually talk with her?
Yeah, she just seems to get us, but she's one of our dream guests. So hopefully.
Oh yeah, definitely. So I asked her if she had any like memories of the shoot, and she shared a really personal story where she basically had like a personal emergency that came up during it. So what she told us was, and let's quote this, D was of course the sweetest, kindest, most loving human being on the planet and told me to go. I got the call just before she sat in the chair. So she would have been without makeup, but she was still like, go. It would take volumes for me to even begin to explain how wonderful a human our girl is. So I won't begin to try here, but she is golden and I love her dearly. I know. I was like, oh my gosh. So thank you for sharing
Speaking
that.
Speaking of Deb, I still haven't watched that show where they redid her house.
Oh my gosh. Celebrity IOU. You gotta do that. You'll love her even more.
But, and also thank you for calling it our girl.
I know. I was like, our girl, thanks.
We're included.
And then just lastly, last but not least, the manicurist was Beth Frick. So the photo shoot was done at the Focus Studio in Venice, California, and then also on the actual beach in Venice Beach. And just because I'm a weirdo, I like went down this thing of like, I should try to find it. No, who cares where it was? It doesn't matter. And then I was like, no, but I've been there recently. Oh, I should go look. Anyway, I was able on Google Maps to pinpoint the exact spot where they did the photo shoot. So
that's so cool.
Maybe one day we can go and take pictures.
That's so cool. Also, one of the reasons you were able to is because there's a really great behind the scenes video. We'll mention it a little bit later, but it made it so, so clear like what part that they were shooting, even though the actual photos you can't
see
it that well.
Thank you for mentioning that.
Yes. So Drew brought a playlist that had tracks from the Crystal Castles, the Temper Trap, and MGMT, which inspired kind of a dance party on the beach. That's fun.
That is fun. Of course. Of course.
Yes, of course. And since we kind of have teased these photos, should we jump into the photos?
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. There's a lot of full pages, which is really fun. There's four nice big full pages, which we always appreciate. And then two little behind the scenes pictures that are earlier in the magazine. Mm-hmm. But let's start with the cover. Yeah. Like I said, it's the denim issue. So Drew's wearing a denim shirt and jacket as a vest.
Oh, I see. Or there's, shirt and then a vest. I love the shorts she's wearing here. They're like high-waisted, like vintage style shorts.
They're so cute.
I want them.
We don't see her in shorts very often, I think might be part of it too. Maybe that's what Onda and Masha meant by out of her comfort zone.
Maybe. Also, is it her necklace in this that she's wearing on the cover?
I think so. I just noticed that.
That's really cool.
We'll talk about that in a minute.
Yeah. Okay. So let me just look at the pictures a little bit closer on my screen just to see. Yeah. So the one that's in the beginning of the magazine, did you say it's next to the editor's letter?
Yes.
Yeah, that one's, I love these kind of pictures. And I feel like InStyle always has like a little behind the scenes picture. So I love that they did it here.
Yeah, they're good about that. We love these behind the scenes looks. I don't know why. It's just like fun.
It's really fun. So this one's like Drew, you can see Drew on the beach. And then there's like two people with reflectors on the photographer, like in our frame. I love stuff like that. So that's really cool. And then this undercover page, is this also at the beginning of the magazine?
Yes. Okay. Where it kind of talks about the makeup and stuff like that.
Yeah, so that's really cute too. It shows, it looks definitely posed, but it looks like Deb's right there in the image.
So, yeah,
because Deb's got that big, like, curly, dark hair. So you can kind of see that. So they kind of pose them doing Drew's makeup. Adorable.
So aside from just these behind the scenes shots, as you mentioned earlier, Anne, there's also a video on the set, which I couldn't find. It took me a long time. I was looking everywhere because wherever they used to have this no longer is there. But I finally found somebody who put it up on YouTube. Score. And it's so cute. I feel like we should put a little audio in here if we're talking about denim.
I love to see like denim on a wrist or something. Denim in the hair gets a little 80s, not in a good way.
I like that.
That's
and
so
I
fun.
Also like the fact that in the background is the band The Like that I love and Jolena loves.
Yeah, I noticed that. And then they play a Best Coast song, which is a fun little like foreshadowing of the following year when she would direct their music video.
Yep, totally. Okay, so do we want to get into the pictures that are in the inside at all? Do we want to try to like describe what's so special about them?
All right. Yeah. So the first one, I'm not really sure what she's wearing. Black shorts and a black blazer. What is this? 1996? Just kidding. I mean, her hair was really cute at this time, too. This was like the ombre phase where she was kind of a trendsetter with ombre. And it's actually lighter at the bottom than I even really remembered. It's like pretty blonde at the bottom.
Yeah.
And she's got all kinds of cool jewelry on, too, like cool necklaces. And
yeah,
just looks casually awesome, like the cool girl who puts no effort in.
Oh, absolutely. And I can see her necklace there too in that
yep.
one. Okay, then the next one, it almost looks like she's wearing the fringy thing that you might be talking about. Could it be
interesting? Oh my god, I'm gonna have to go look. Okay, it's not the same because this was a shirt and in this one it's a vest, but clearly that was like a vibe they were going for at this time. Love it.
That's awesome. I love her makeup in this one.
Yes, Deb. Good job. She looks like sun-kissed in a lot of them, which is so perfect.
Yeah. And she's got like a couple pieces of jewelry on in this that look kind of neat, but they look like rustic, almost like what's the word I want to use?
Bohemian?
I guess bohemian, but I was going to say almost like steampunk-ish because they're like a lot of brass.
Yeah.
There's something about it.
So cute on the beach with this shirt, jeans, and vest and just looking beautiful.
They're very casual cool. That's a very good description.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, the next one is even more so. I guess this is the same outfit with the black shorts, black blazer. It's just more of a like motorcycle jacket. I shouldn't be calling it a blazer.
The other one is like dark, dark blue.
Yes. Okay.
And then this one's like leather, like a leather. Yeah. What would you call this? It's like a long jacket. It's not like a short jacket.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Almost like a trench. Okay. I'm all over the place.
Although,
wrong.
Is that what I'm seeing there? It's kind of hard to see what's happening.
It is. Yeah. Again, why does she look so freaking cool? She just, man, she was just vibing this year. I feel like this was kind of, I meant to say this earlier, but it's like right before she met Will and started like getting serious and settling down and becoming a mom. Like this is kind of the last hurrah of our real wild Drew.
Yeah, it kind of is.
And then the last one is back out on the beach and she's wearing, as we mentioned, that kind of purplish dark blue hat that she wears later on in real life and an all denim outfit, which doesn't always work for people, but I'm feeling it here.
She's making it work for her. That's for sure. A lot of the behind the scenes pictures are taken in this outfit. Probably because it's the denim issue. Like she's not wearing a lot of denim in the other pictures.
That's true. Good point. Oh yeah, there is the one of her like in the wardrobe area in this outfit looking so cool.
So cool.
I can't remember who shared this picture. It might have been Anda and Masha. But we got to share this one because man, why is she just so like badass awesome?
How does she look so cool? I think she, you know, whenever I see pictures like that of her like kind of making that expression and you know she says she's not sexy, I think she's in that sexy character. Uh-huh. You know, like
yep,
feeling herself and like, you know, she gets into that in photo shoots.
Oh, love it. Love it. So yes, we will share some of these behind the scenes pictures. We will share the video, and then we will also share the photos that are in the magazine, which you could also see on our website at thedrewzam.com/2010mags.
Yeah. Oh, should we talk about outtakes?
Oh my gosh, we're so lucky. There's a lot of outtakes. I think Nylon had like a pretty heavy internet presence when this came out.
Okay.
Like, so they put out most of these out there themselves, from what I recall.
That is so cool. I'm looking through them in our drive, and oh, they're such cute ones.
They're beautiful. They're all so great. It's just such a cute, it's like a fresh, fun, awesome, cool girl party vibe. That's what the shoot is.
How many like words can go towards it?
So go to our episode page and we will show you guys what we're talking about, why we're drooling over these.
Yeah, it's a really cool one.
The article. Let's get into it.
Let's get into it. This one's fun. Lots of topics. We're going to be jumping from topic to topic. So yeah, let's start at the beginning.
Oh, what a concept. Let's do it.
So the article is called Sweet and Lowdown. And the first line says, she may have shed her wild child reputation long ago, but Drew Barrymore is still kicking ass as an actress, director, media mogul, and occasional stuntwoman.
I also thought it was fun to see Media Mogul and just like where she's at now with a talk show in a magazine. It's like
funny because I was just thinking about the word mogul and how when we were using that, I think that word was used in like, is it LA Times or like Variety or whatever it was last year where they were like, and I remember we were like, she's such a mogul. Like we were using that word.
That's awesome.
And then here, she didn't have her TV show at that time.
She didn't even have Flower Beauty. Like, it's interesting they even used that word.
Oh, weird. Love it. So yeah, accuracy. I love it.
Yes. So it opens talking about how in her office, Flower Films, which is described as a charming ivory duplex in West Hollywood, which we can attest to. Mm-hmm. There was a picture of Pippi Longstocking on the wall. And we know that Drew has always loved Pippi. So that's fun to hear that she had that up.
Yes. I like that they noted that she was sitting cross-legged. I just, there's something about that. Like lately I've been sitting cross-legged a lot and I'm like, I feel like that's like, there's something about that that does feel very true. It says she's sitting cross-legged on a round floral carpet. The author tells her that she was Pippi for Halloween one year. And it says Drew smiles winningly and says, oh, I'm going to like you. I think that's really cute.
What a cute little intro, huh?
Yeah. Back to Pippi again. She said, Pippi Longstocking was my role model as a kid. Thank God for that redheaded creature because she wasn't worried about age or gender or strength or ability. She just felt like anything was possible. She could do anything. And that was such an affecting thing in my psyche as a kid. It really formed me.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
And then she goes up to, quote, go get naked and change out of her sweaty gym clothes. That was fun.
That was really
like,
cute.
She must not have had time to do that before.
Yeah. And then it says she reemerges a few moments later in a soft gray sweater and loose bleach splattered jeans, sitting cross-legged on the floor again.
I was just kind of thinking, I bet you it feels very her because she takes off her shoes and sits on her couch on her show. Cross-legged
all
bit.
The time. Yeah, I feel like even more lately. I feel like after she was made fun of for getting close to her guests, she started getting closer to them.
Leaning in literally to that. Then there's a bunch of really cool descriptions of Drew and the Flower Films office. Mm-hmm. Some of these even come like later in the article, but I thought it made a little more sense if we just put them all right here.
I love it.
This is so cute. Her dirty blonde hair is pulled back in a ponytail and her slightly tanned and even skin looks to be makeup free.
Cute.
Even though it was the following year that we were at Flower Films hanging out with Drew, I say so casually, I feel like that's exactly what she sort of looked like then.
Yes, I agree with you that she does sound like what they're describing is when we saw her the next year. And it describes this chain around her neck that it says holds multiple gold charms, including a Cartier love band, which that's kind of interesting. But yeah, in the picture of us with her, that do we have that story up on our website?
Yes, we do.
Okay, so you can check out a picture of us and you'll be able to see the same necklace that I believe she's wearing through this whole photo shoot and stuff too.
So cool. She wore it a lot back then, but I just thought it was neat because I feel like we both really noted all the hearts on it when we saw her and we talked about it later.
I actually just had like kind of a memory. I don't know if I made up in my head, but I was also wearing a heart that day. And I think she might have like pointed it out.
Oh, that seems possible. Oh. So the woman says that they're in Drew's personal office, but I kind of think it was more of like common room space because she says there's no chairs or desk in the room and that there's bookshelves everywhere. And I feel like I've seen pictures from Brent Kyle used to post pictures in a room sort of like that. And so I think maybe this woman just misspoke. But anyway, it's just a cool little description.
That is really cool. I like this description from later in the article. While she talks, Barrymore absentmindedly massages her left foot, and then it describes her toenails are dark blue and there's a jailhouse tattoo of a moon on one big toe. It says she cracks her knuckles and stretches. Jailhouse tattoo.
I know.
I guess it's like at this point, it's probably so blurry, you know, because we've seen what it looks like. Yeah. So then I'll go on kind of with the description of the room. It says everything else in the room is still. Every surface covered with artfully arranged items, a typewriter, and then in parentheses, she collects them, a record player, a megaphone, three identical hacky sacks lined up in a row. By the window on her right, there's an empty glass fishbowl. A blue post-it note stuck to the rim reads, R.I.P.
Aww. I think that was the one detail where I was like, we got to do this article.
I like to think that it's her writing, but I wonder.
Oh, yeah.
And then this is the one little error that both of you and I pointed out. And I think that we're right. We know Drew better than this person. It says Drew drinks cola through a straw out of a big styrofoam cup. Okay. Styrofoam cup. Yes. Cola?
Cola? Very I think likely. There's iced tea in there.
And then it's mentioned again later. Like she takes a sip of cola. I'm like, no. It's
gotta be iced tea. All right. So the author then talks about how Drew is a successful rom-com queen and she includes Going the Distance. That's going to be coming out that month and sure to be a hit, which sadly I don't think it was, but it should have been. I like that movie.
Yeah, it's a fun movie.
And then I thought this was interesting. She says it would be easy to write off Drew's success as just being born into the business, which we've had a lot of words about.
Yeah.
But she says, quote, like Pippi, she's a scrapper, a hard worker who has achieved most of her dreams on her own. Love that.
Yeah, totally.
So true.
I like this part where it kind of goes into her past a little bit. Mm-hmm. But because of the way they frame it, I like it. So it talks about her highs and lows and how it, quote, takes much more than family connections. Birthright can only take you so far.
I just kind of laugh. I'm like, what connections?
Yeah.
No one's alive. It hasn't been for a long time. But yep. I see what she's saying.
It goes into the Barrymore family history lesson, and it goes all the way back to John Drew in the 1800s. I didn't recall that Louisa Lane had shared a stage with John Wilkes Booth, so I thought that was kind of an interesting little fact.
Yeah, that's like familiar but forgotten, so yeah. That's a great point. And then, of course, it talks about John Drew Jr., Drew's dad, and his wife Jade, and that they weren't exactly, quote, PTA members, which that was great.
And if you're not from America, I guess maybe you don't know. It's like parent-teacher association. Is that what it is?
Yeah. And it's like involved parents, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it says Barrymore has had an astonishingly salacious childhood, which I was kind of just saying, talking about Little Girl Lost. Like, yeah, it still astonishes me to this day.
Yeah. It's still surprising. It doesn't get less shocking the more you hear about it. I mentioned a couple errors. The only thing I noticed here, they said she was 5 when she did Altered States and 7 when she did E.T. I think they're like a year shifted, right?
Well,
like,
it's so common. People just look at the year the movies came out.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's not how movies work.
I feel like Altered States, she was like really little, but I guess maybe she was 4. I don't know.
And then it does talk about Little Girl Lost. So the quote, I had to put this whole thing in here because I really like this. And I almost feel like this should be in our Patreon episodes. The book, authorized by Jade, reads like an E-True Hollywood story. Barrymore's personal narrative is interrupted every few paragraphs with long asides from Gold, Todd Gold, who comes across as a sympathetic but obsolescent guidance counselor, insisting that Jade was unaware that her daughter was doing drugs during their late nights out together. Barrymore emancipated herself from her parents shortly after the book was published. So I thought that was good. Actually, I don't know what obsolescent means. Do you?
Well, planned obsolescence is like when you have like a piece of technology that wears out after a certain amount of time.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So obsolescent guidance counselor might be like literally just for the moment that they're writing the book.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, you're right. It's like out of date.
Hmm. Yeah.
I don't really get that.
Maybe out of, maybe it's in this case, it's like out of touch or something instead.
Maybe. I don't know. We like what Todd Gold did.
We do. We do. Although I kind of agree that some of it is a little out of touch and feels, well, like
he feels very sympathetic to Jade in a way that we're looking back on now. And go, yes, listen to our episodes on Patreon. You can be a $1 member to listen to these, but it is, I am seeing this story in a very different way as far mm-hmm. as Jade's involvement with what Rue's childhood was like.
Totally. This was kind of cute. I didn't really know what to make of it. The author tells Drew that her sister had Little Girl Lost next to her Judy Blume books when they were young. And Drew has like a serene expression, but it's also talking about how like the Judy Blume books, did they have like salacious things of their own, like teen pregnancy? And
yes. Which makes sense. Like kind of how I was talking about how I had this book as a hand-me-down mm-hmm. from my older cousin and it felt salacious and I didn't read it because I was like, that's a naughty girl and this is about drugs. Like I can't read this.
Yep. But I love Drew's response to this.
Yeah.
She says, you have to not pretend to be perfect because it's not only boring as fuck, but it's just not real. So I feel so liberated in that way. I just really want to be true to myself. That's essential in life. I would never be able to put on a charade. I would totally fuck it up. She cusses a lot in this article, yeah, which I always like because it feels like
it's
her.
Very real. But it's funny because it's like this theme that we keep coming back to, how we mentioned how my daughter was like, why are you going back through Drew's, like, why are you bringing this stuff up about like everything that happened to her? And it's like, well, she is like liberated that it's out there. She wants to talk about it.
Maybe if it was somebody else, they wouldn't want to. But it's like Drew. Yeah. Like, and I think we both had a moment of like, should we be like opening this back up? Like maybe there's a reason it's not in print anymore. I don't know, you know, but anyway, we're going to do it. And we think Drew would enjoy what we're doing.
Yeah. We'll just use that quote right there to feel good about it.
Exactly.
So then Drew talks about how everyone kind of has a time in their life where they're trying to like figure out work or what they're going to do in life and mm-hmm. how to find success doing through what makes you happy. But she says she just happened to go through it from 14 to 19 with a wry smile on her face, the author notes.
Yep. Accurate.
Uh-huh.
Yep. She said, I had a big gap in my life where I wasn't allowed to work at all because no one would hire me, which was great because I think you need that humility. You have to have everything taken away or you have to have a major reality check so that you will always appreciate what you have. And I think, you know, it's like when people talk about how Drew is and how is she real? How is she so kind? I think she just has like perspective despite the privilege that she's built for herself. Like, yes, she's a privileged white woman now, you know, but like it wasn't always that way. So she knows what it's like to not have it.
And I love that this, again, is a theme that comes around and around again, where she's like, I know what it's like to lose everything and have to start over. And so she's always grateful for every job, every whatever that she has, every success. Yeah.
Yep.
The author says that Drew is someone who can see the lesson in every story, which I feel like is totally still true. And then it briefly just like runs through her teens and her like bad girl era. And of course, like Letterman Playboy, you know, all the usual. Mm-hmm. But then it does at least mention about Drew meeting Nancy on the set of Mad Love and how she dared her to move to LA to do flower film. So that's fun.
Yeah, I like how it just briefly summarizes like a whole bunch of her history in like a pretty accurate, succinct way and then makes it like, okay, here's an important thing that happened in her life in 1995.
Here's this like turning point.
Yeah, I love it. So then it gets kind of into the Drew's decision to do more serious roles like Grey Gardens. And then Drew about that said, I think I'll always keep it mixed up. I did romantic comedies throughout my 20s, but I'm just not in that place right now where I want to make a movie about waking up and realizing I slept with a CEO of a company and now I've got a fake identity, or have a sort of Three's Company moment of like, oh my God, we're misunderstanding each other. I'm in a place in my life where I'm really into reality rather than fantasy.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because not only did she like really not end up going that way with her career,
yeah,
but she, like, by her name dropping Three's Company specifically, when she's like joked that would be like a remake of that would be one of the only things to get her back into movies with Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston. I was like, oh, she's changed her tune.
I feel like that's so specific to like specifically Adam, specifically like, I feel like it's almost like Adam is one of the only things that can get her back.
Oh, I think so too. But
it is funny that Three's Company is dropped here as like an example of what she wouldn't do.
Yeah. And also like I told you, I caught a few minutes of Blended on TV the other day, which I've only seen once, and maybe it gets better throughout the movie, but the beginning I find pretty rough, and it really is like, oh my god, we're misunderstanding each other. And it's just funny to me that I'm like, wow, she didn't want to do that, but she really ended up
doing that. Yeah.
no shame, just it's interesting to note.
Yep. Then it mentions about Whip It, of course, her directorial debut, and being a co-creative director with CoverGirl, which it doesn't say this, but eventually led to Flower Beauty. And then it says plus producing TV stuff. And they're talking about like how Flower was producing TV.
Yeah. But
yeah. Like it's neat to actually see this as sort of a turning point.
Oh, very much so. Then the article talks about how she's a music junkie. Again, we've like mentioned this already a couple times in this one. She said she goes to shows 2 to 3 times a week, which I wonder if that was an exaggeration. That seems like a lot.
I know. And right after that, it says like, but it's work. Like it kind of like described it as like, yeah.
Because it says how she's always thinking about like where a song might fit on a film soundtrack. And then it even mentions that there's 75 needle drops in Whip It, which is crazy.
I mean, 2 to 3 shows a week. I feel like we knew that goes to shows a lot, but I wonder if that's true.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of pictures of her that like people took at random shows at this era, but not that many. She does briefly mention that she'd seen both the XX and Mike Snow recently and calls them both, quote, fucking brilliant.
There goes that cussing again.
Yep.
And then she goes on like talking about acting and what is so cool about her job. She said, I love my job because I get to like train for roller derby or train for kung fu or learn about journalism or learn about Greenpeace and whales and scuba diving and activism and marine biology. I get to live in the mind frame of Edie Biehl in Grey Gardens and do nothing but live in that temple of what that person thought and felt and read her journals every night and shut out the world. I get to have these very different lives. I don't remember knowing that she read Edie Biehl's journals when she was preparing for that.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember if I knew that or not. Like, it doesn't surprise me. And I do know that she had this, like, huge binder of research, which I'm like, cool, that's what we do about you, Drew. I like that you understand.
Yep. We're just making binders about you, not about who you might consider a historical person.
Right. She is historical. She I know. Probably wouldn't admit it. So then we get into Going the Distance. And like I said, I haven't seen this movie in quite a while. I would love to revisit this one. I think we should do that soon. Like, I really like this movie. I remember loving it.
Yeah, that would be a fun thing to do soon, for sure.
I feel like it's underrated. But anyway, so the characters in the movie meet playing the arcade game Centipede. And Drew says, quote, I had a Centipede machine in my house for years. It's my favorite game. I thought that was cool.
Oh, it's neat that's in the movie.
Yeah. And of course, she says that she related to the long distance aspect because she's always had that in her life due to her work. Like everything's always been long distance.
Yeah.
And that she thinks people are more disconnected now, even though there are more ways to be connected with technology. And it's funny, this is even like kind of pre-FaceTime being so normal. Like, I don't know. I wonder if she still would say that. I know she's very analog, but.
Well, I mean, I also had this thought. She recently talked on the show too, where she like talks about hating text messaging.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this checks out the way she still feels about like, you can't connect with people through these things.
Someone wrote me an email. Someone wrote me a letter. Go watch our reels if you don't know what that is.
Yeah, she likes the physicality of it.
Yep.
This part was funny. So they talked about a phone sex scene. I don't know why I don't remember it, but she said, you know, phone sex going awry is just the funny concept to me. And I thought, this is going to be one of those scenes where you have to go balls out. And if it doesn't work, it's going to be editing room floor crap.
And I had to make a note. And obviously, when we do cover that movie, I'll talk more about this. But I had a friend who worked in some sort of Hollywood office. I don't know what he was doing. I can't remember. But he got a copy of the script right when Drew signed on. So it was before they even filmed. And he sent it to me.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I remember reading it and going like, no way, to like some of the scenes, like, no way is she going to do this? Like, because it just felt a little more raunchy, or like, you know, there's like a smoking pot scene. And yeah. I was just like, I can't see her doing this where she's at in her career right now. So I remember being like, whoa, she does do the phone sex. She does do this. Like, so I don't know. I just thought it was fun to like go back to that.
Is the phone sex in the movie like more silly, or is it kind of like,
I mean the most of the movie is funny, right? So it starts out like they're definitely taking it seriously, but it like it doesn't really work out, like, because it's awkward.
We do have to rewatch Going the Distance. We're due.
And you're in a long distance relationship right now, so
it's a good point. I don't know if it would help or hurt. All right. So I like how the director of Going the Distance, Nanette Bernstein, in the article is quoted talking about how Drew was like so funny and had really great comedic timing and was very experienced, and that was really helpful on set. And then she said that Drew insisted on doing a small stunt of like face planting while drunk. I don't remember that.
I don't know if that's in the movie.
But I guess she was like, no way, I'm doing it.
I also had that thing of like, is that in the movie? I don't remember. It's like saying she got carried out of a bar, and I don't remember that. But
I can't remember it either.
Watch, we're gonna go back and be like, oh shit, there it is.
Probably. We're not going the distance experts for this episode.
So then it talks about Drew and Justin, of course, actually dating in real life. And so they had that true chemistry. And here's a nice quote from Drew, quote, "There's a lot of honesty here. Justin and I have actually been through this stuff in this case. We wanted to be revealing about what a couple goes through and what their joys are, and honest fucking laughter. That's Justin making me laugh for real." And I actually know exactly like parts where you can totally tell that.
Yeah.
And she continues, "And when we're emotional in a movie, we've fucking been there. It's heart-wrenching and it's tough."
Mm-hmm. It's sweet to think about that. I like how in the article, it's like on again, off again, boyfriend Justin.
I mean, true.
Drew said she related to her character in Going the Distance because she didn't want to give up her sense of identity and goals for a relationship, yet doesn't want to sacrifice love for a career. So that's kind of an interesting thing. And I mean, with Will, I think there was kind of a pull with those identity things.
Yeah. Oh, man. I feel like she did kind of. That's interesting. Wow.
It is.
Whoa. You're blowing my mind. I didn't even make that connection until just now.
I kind of didn't really either. Like, I thought about it, but I just realized like, ooh. Yeah.
Okay, moving on. She appreciated that the script is really fucking funny, but it's really fucking real. And then this is fun. She talks about how Justin has some nudity in the film. Mm-hmm. And she said, quote, "It's funny because usually it's the girl who's naked. I was like, that's right, bitch. The tables are turned."
It also said like that there were a bunch more shots of his butt, and that maybe there was like a full frontal, like.
Well, because there's like that tanning scene. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Okay. There's a scene where he goes to like do tanning, like spray tanning. And so he's pretty naked in that.
Pretty funny. And then we get into the movie Big Miracle, which at the time was called Whales. I always love these little things.
Which I totally forgot.
Yeah. Like when it came up, I was like, oh, funny. Like, we're reading an old article, of course. Yeah. It's going to have its like in production name. So Whales or Big Miracle, Drew said that she appreciated that it's a movie about a time when the world came together. That's sweet. I've only seen that movie once, so I don't remember it super well. She said she'd never been to Alaska before. And then in the moment, this is kind of funny. I feel like you should read this because this feels like your vibe.
Okay, because it's relatable to me. She says, "I hate being cold, but I just love this film so much." And then the author says she stops for a minute, like the weather has only just occurred to her. Quote, "I'm going to be in the Arctic Circle for 4 months." No thanks.
So this is fun. So Drew talks about her relationship to clothes shopping. So it says, "I never have time for shopping. I like it, I think. If I ever do go shopping, I hit thrift stores because I know I'll find new pieces. I've been wearing the same fucking pair of jeans for 10 years. For a person who doesn't go shopping all the time, I live for clothes. Some days it's preppy, some days it's super punk rocker, some days it's girly, some days it's grunge. I just think you have to play the character that you're feeling that day.
That's so great. It's such a like good truth about her style. Like she has so much range.
Yep, totally. Especially like within this time frame, like 2009, 2010, and prior to that, she's been playing with it. She goes a little safer now, but super fun.
Yeah, this is wild fashion time.
Yes.
And then appropriately, she talks about how she thinks playing it safe on the red carpet is so boring and that she much prefers like costume houses and the runway. Mm-hmm. And she says, quote, there's so much art and drama and fucking grooviness, and it's so inspiring. God forbid anyone takes a risk in Hollywood. They get crucified, and it just shouldn't be that way. And she still says that, like, God forbid somebody does something fun on the red carpet.
She's always appreciated, well, maybe especially in the last like 20 years, like high fashion.
Yeah.
You know, like, and she's like open about it. Sometimes we're not really sure about her looks.
She's always trying.
Yeah, exactly. The author notes how remarkably optimistic Drew is and how she continues to evolve as an actress and a businesswoman, and even more now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
And Drew says, I like this line actually a lot. It says, I seem to keep finding fact in the polarity of life. Really, if there's positive, there's negative. But good news, if there's negative, there's positive. I just feel like I'm surviving and understanding those truths and embellishing and loving the positive and trying to navigate and be okay with the fact that there it just is negative. That's the way of life. It's like, it's very, like, these are the facts. But it's also, it's a good way to look at it because it's like, yeah, we know that there is negative. But you can kind of like go around the corner. It can't be like all bad, you know?
Oh, that's a really cute way of saying it, Anne. I love that.
And then it says she takes a sip of cola and smiles. I'm like, no, I don't think
Doubt
so.
I think
she took a sip of her iced tea right after that. Because what's she going to need after telling some hard truths? Refreshment.
Okay, so then we're kind of wrapping up the article here. It ends by mentioning that she's always taking on new projects. Mm-hmm. It says that she started writing short stories, which I was like, what? Where are those? Like, is that like autobiographical? Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking, is it like future Wildflower material or were these like fiction? Oh my gosh.
I don't know. I didn't even catch that, but now my mind is reeling.
Right. And then she also says that she constantly finds inspiration in the books she owns. We know Drew is a huge reader, has so many books. She has so many books. It's wild.
Yeah.
And then it gets into one of her favorites, which is Tim Robbins' Still Life with Woodpecker.
I'm just going to really quickly jump in and say I've been carrying a copy of this book around for a while.
Currently?
Yeah. Like I have a copy of it. Like I'll send you a picture later. It's like on my dining table. I bought a paperback a while ago. And every time I think I'm going to have time to read at a coffee shop and maybe I'll stop and read, I almost never do.
Well, I have a funny thing about this book too. I read it in 2005, obviously inspired by Drew. But I was able to have the time to sit down and read this because I was in Hawaii. And this is very full circle because it takes place partially in Hawaii, but even more so in 51st Dates, again, Hawaii.
Yep.
Drew had requested that her character be reading that book every morning. So I remember when I was reading it in Hawaii and it certainly had scenes in Hawaii. I was like, whoa. This is feeling very meta.
Yeah, this is too meta. So she says about it. She said, not only is it my favorite book, but the book is about, it says on page 2, how do you make love stay? I thought it was apropos on several levels.
That's so great. I know. So the Hawaii connection is just like a fun little extra cherry on top. But yeah, it's about love staying. And that's like why she wanted to do 51st Dates. That's like the whole thing, why she was obsessed with like following where that script went.
Yeah. I just thought of something really fun. Like if there was a like to do a Drew book club, that's like books that she's mentioned.
Oh my gosh.
That'd be kind of fun.
That's a really fun idea. That could also be a Patreon exclusive.
I thought
just
about
saying.
That too.
It's been a long ass time since I read that book, so I would gladly read it again.
That'd be cool. Oh, I was gonna say if there was like a show that Drew could do that's like The Essentials, but it's
but
like books.
Ooh. oh, don't give her any ideas. She doesn't need more projects. I feel like she'd really like that idea. Okay, maybe we need to go pitch it.
We also need to pitch a project that we can be involved in. So that's what it's going to be. Maybe we won't even put it in here because it's too good.
Nobody steal this idea.
So the last thing we wanted to get into was an event that happened surrounding the celebration of this issue. And it happened on August 10th at London Hotel in West Hollywood. And this is such a cute look.
Oh my God. Again, I am really into her 2010 style, her hair, her makeup, the cool things she was wearing. So she wore a vintage dress. Supposedly the brand is Janine. I didn't look into that, but she said somewhere that she bought this at an Austin, Texas thrift store for $25. And then she just rocked it on the red carpet looking so hot.
Yeah, she looks amazing.
So good.
Yeah, that's such a cool dress.
And it's so fun that they did like a little party to celebrate the issue. That's kind of unusual.
Yeah, it is kind of the denim issue. Why wasn't she wearing all denim?
Instead, she's in sequins, but it's really fun. So we'll share a photo from that too. But yeah, it's just a great look back at this like interesting turning point when she's still kind of single lady, having fun, going to shows and like living all badass style in these pictures. And then like, she's about to suddenly become a mom and life is really going to change. So
yeah.
I love these peeks back at history, like what was going on and what went on after.
Yep. I'm just looking at the cover of the issue of Nylon and the little tagline is Drew Barrymore is our kind of icon.
Oh, that's so cute. Yeah, she is. You know what? Maybe we have to use that somewhere in this, like in the description of this episode. Because, yep, it sure is true. Nylon, you're right.
Yeah, this was a fun one. And I feel like I often dismiss things. Like, I know we've talked about, like, yes, this is quote unquote recent for us, but it's not because we're such old fans, although at this point it feels like it.
Yeah.
It's also like, just there's so much good stuff that because I was there for it, maybe I appreciate it less, or like I experienced it.
I totally think that's true. I feel that way.
You know?
Yeah. Like the stuff that's like right before we became fans feels extra special and exciting to us.
Something. I don't know.
We also had to like work at getting those things. It wasn't just like we went to the store and bought it.
Yeah. So there's something about having yearns. Like I would have been able to pick up my 2-3 copies or whatever I would have bought at the time right off the rack for this.
We like working for our Drew materials.
It's also like, you know, all this stuff, like anything that's like a quote unquote, like common magazine issue. Yeah. Like I wouldn't think this is rare, but maybe this would be really rare to come across now. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
It's a trip. So anyway, thank you for listening to our most recent magazine issue episode.
And that was fun.
Yeah, we got to do more magazines. So
we have quite the endless supply of them. So yeah, I would love to know if there's like one that we haven't covered yet that people want to hear. I still have the dream of doing a movie line series where we do the 92, 94, 95. And 98 issue. I guess there's a 2003 as well. Wow. Okay. So we could do all five of those because those are all really interesting articles.
Like do them like in a row kind of thing?
Yeah. Or just like, here's the first in our series. Like in a few more episodes, we'll do another one. Something like that. But I would love to hear what other like biggies we haven't hit yet that people would love to hear us covering.
Yeah.
Let us know, people.
We want your feedback.
You can reach out on Instagram if that's easier for you at How Do You Drew Pod. We always love interacting there, or at our Drewseum at Drewseum. You could leave it in a review on Apple Podcasts. I haven't gotten one of those in a minute. You could say, hey, I love this podcast. It's perfect. Now just please do this one magazine.
It's already perfect, but if you could just do this, make sure to use the word perfect in there.
Yeah, 5 stars.
Yeah. So after you visited us on all of our Instagrams, How Do You Drew Pod at Drewseum, make sure you visit our website, howdoyoudrew.com, hosted on the drewseum.com, where we'll have an episode page for this episode as we do for every episode. I think the episode pages are really rich.
Oh.
The one for 96 was so awesome.
I know. It's just so fun even for us to go and look at them.
Yes. So make sure you check out those amazing sets of images that are pulled right from our digital archive. I can't imagine there's a more complete archive out there for Drew Barrymore than ours.
I don't think there could possibly be.
And even ours is like, quote unquote incomplete.
Oh no, we're still missing stuff for sure. Yeah. But we're very organized and thorough. And yes. Yeah, whatever you guys need, we have, you know, we're there. We like yeah. to be the resource of Drew materials out there.
Yes. And, you know, make sure you send us mail, all of those other places, or you can email us if you want to do that. You can send us a letter if you want.
Someone sent me a letter. Oh yeah. What's your P.O. box?
P.O. box 416, Phillips, Maine, 04966. In the good old US of A.
Yes. You know what? I'll add that to our contact page on our website. Sure. And maybe we'll even make a little post with Drew saying, someone sent me a letter, and then it'll fade to your address.
This is so interesting. It's going into the middle of nowhere in a forest. Oh, someone actually lives there? Yeah, believe it or not. Okay. Let's see. Do we have a question to take us out? I'm trying to think of something that's not about food.
Okay. What do you remember liking in Going the Distance?
Charlie Day.
Oh, yeah.
I know that doesn't have anything to do with Drew, but Charlie Day and Jason Sudeikis are so funny in it.
That's a great answer.
What about you? I know it's not what I said, it's not Drew related, but
I really like Drew's wardrobe in that movie. I like really like she wears these like boots that are kind of unzipped all the time. And I remember being like, oh, I love that. So I have these little short booties that I never zip. And I think it's partially because of that.
Probably.
Also just easier to take them on and off. But
yeah, I secretly don't really like Drew. I just like everything adjacent to her.
Yeah, right.
If you ever ask
That's
me
why
a question.
You love Donnie Darko so much.
But all yes, right. I think we got to do Going the Distance soon because this is making me like want to watch it again.
Me too. Okay. We'll plan on it.
All right, everybody. Thank you for listening and we will see you next Tuesday.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This episode of the How Do You Drew podcast was researched and produced by Ashley and Anne from thedrewseum.com with help from our sponsor, Positive Medium.
Special thanks to Matt Costa for our lovely theme song, Roxy Prima for our adorable logo, and last but not least, Drew Barrymore and all the Drewbies who love her. We do this for you.
Thank you.